Dale's Other World on WGN. So nice talking to Tommy Edwards. Kind of nervous in a way. I mean, Tommy didn't know me well at all when I was, I was just an intern. I was a kid, you know, working at that radio station. And because I was interested in animals, I don't know if it was Lou Jack or if it was Tommy Edwards or someone else asked me to pull wire copy periodically and look for funny animal stories. And that's exactly what I did. Lou Jack was truly interested in animals, and he really didn't interact with a lot of the interns, but he did with me a bit, because we would talk about wildlife and we would talk about horses and we would talk about dogs. I remember that. And he had a sense of humor where I remember at one point in time, I'm just sitting in a room, I'm doing some work, paperwork, and he would walk through, it was a conference room, and he would take a shortcut through the conference room to get to other offices. And each time he'd walk through, he'd turn off the lights. And then when he walked through the other way, I left them off. And then he would turn them back on. I still have an autograph from him. And it was he didn't sign autographs a lot, but he gave this to me. I didn't even ask for it. And it was his stationery that simply said Larry Lujack on it, right? Typed out. And he wrote him on it. I still have this. I have this framed. As well as one from Roy Leonard, a thank you note from Roy Leonard. So he wrote him on it, H-I-M, he just wrote that, and then circled his name. Only Larry Lujack. But Tommy Edwards, absolutely brilliant when it comes to programming radio stations, right? I mean, those names he rattled off. He didn't answer the question when I said, would you hire me? So maybe I'm not so sure that he would. I don't know. We don't have to find that out. Maybe that's a good thing. Barry Livingston is here. Remember from My Three Sons. Barry, welcome to WGN Radio.
I'm very fascinated by your story about Tommy Williams. That was interesting. And thank you for welcoming me. I'm on the great WGN. What an honor.
Well, and you sound the same as I would remember, as I would imagine, you know. And you also authored a book, The Importance of Being Ernie, from My Three Sons to Mad Men. A Hollywood Survivor Tells All. I'm not necessarily going to...
Okay, that's a little exaggerated. I didn't tell all. I told most of it. But yes, I did write a book published by Kensington Press. So I got a really cool New York publisher to put it out there for me. And I guess it's still out there on Amazon and all the other places you can buy books.
Okay, so here's what it says. This is what exactly from the publisher. Livingston shares his inspirational journey of one man's willingness to not give up in a ruthless business and talks honestly about the ups and the downs of stardom. So you are a survivor. Yeah. I mean, not all kids in that generation that you grew up in are. How did you make it? Yeah. And I mean, for those who don't know, by the way, I mean, you've got two movies, I believe, coming out in 2021. You've been in many TV shows, many movies.
Tonight I'll be on The Rookie.
Oh, there you go. All right. So you're working.
Now, I must just warn people, there's been, because of COVID, and literally we just finished it last month. So it was supposed to be episode 7, but tonight is actually episode 6. But so I'm 99% sure, because the episode is called Revelations, and that's what's listed on Spectrum. So, it's either on tonight or next week. But I'm betting it's on tonight. So, but to answer your question, you know, just sticking to it, what can I say? You know, I mean, this sounds corny. I've had a great wife of 40-some years, and, you know, and there's a lot of ups and downs in my life. Not horrible downs, frankly. I mean, I coasted through pretty well and always worked. But, you know, it's a struggle, and to keep inspired and to keep excited. And for God knows whatever reason, every time I get a notice for an audition, I still, you know, I feel the fever. So that's a good thing.
47 years. I mean, 47 days in Hollywood is a lot. So what we should have interviewed you on Valentine's Day, had I known. What is the secret?
Yeah, the secret is... I found somebody that is very patient and much more mature than me. And, you know, where every time I go off the rails, and I go off the rails occasionally, I don't know. My wife, Karen, is just a saint. And she has been just, you know, a rock for me throughout the years and a great source of inspiration, just to keep me moving forward. That sounds corny. I don't know. You know, that's really at the root of it, I got to tell you. But nonetheless, I studied. I worked hard. I did my, you know, I paid my dues. I went off and did theater in little towns, and I worked on Broadway. And strangely enough, I lost my hair. Not strangely, it just happens. And that kind of created a whole other work area for me to work in. The doctors and lawyers, casting people, luckily the producers bought me as, you know, as the lawyer or the city councilman. I mean, the thing undead to me last year, mm-hmm. you know, city councilman. You know, I was a medical examiner on Bosch for a few seasons, which is series is just ending on Amazon. Great series if nobody's watched it, but you should check it out. So, yeah, I mean, little fortuitous things like that, like, you know, that I kind of looked a lot different than I did as Ernie. That helps. You know, there's a lot of things that go into luck, I guess.
You sound exactly the same. And speaking, by the way, of losing hair, I'm going to bring you back to something maybe you barely remember. It's when you got a mohawk haircut from Lucy. Hmm. And that was, I know, one of your early roles, right?
Yeah. Well, not my, you know, I mean, I was on the Ozzie and Harriet series. I did 16 episodes of that prior to My Three Sons and a couple other movies. But I did have a what was turning into a recurring role as Mr. Mooney's son. Who Gail Gordon was Mr. Mooney, Lucy's boss. And this was Here's Lucy. She did three incarnations of, you know, I Love Lucy, Here's Lucy, and The Lucy Show. I was in the middle one there. And yes, the gag on that show was I was, you know, her boss's son, and she gives me a haircut, and it, you know, goes out of control, and she gave me a mohawk. But Lucy owned the studio where I was working. I was, at that time, I was a recurring character on My Three Sons as the little orphan boy next door. And, you know, she brought me in for a couple episodes, and again, it was Mr. Mooney's son, so there probably would have been more, but then the next season I got brought on as a full-time regular on My Three Sons. So, but Lucy was, you know, just a great person to work for, and, you know, gruff in some ways with the crew and her writers, but sweet as can be to me. She was always very, very sweet.
Mm-hmm. So when you're a kid at that age, is there a ton of pressure? Were you just having fun saying, oh, this is make-believe, this is okay? I'm working with people like Ozzie and Harriet that are legends, and I'm working with people like Lucy, who's really a legend. I mean, where are you as a little kid with all that?
Well, you know, my brother Stan, who played Chip on My Three Sons, I guess some people know that, some don't. You know, he was a few years ahead of me, so it always helps to have somebody blazing the trail ahead of you. And, you know, he looked like he was having fun, and I'd go with him on the set, you know, a lot. My mom would just drag me along, you know, just as nowhere else to take me that day. So I'd go and you know, so I was, you know, seeing my brother, you know, all the little girls at the local swimming pool seemed to really get excited when he showed up. I thought, man, I'd like a little of that fame pie, too, I think. And as it turned out, you know, I was pretty good at it. And when Stan went on to My Three Sons, Ozzie Nelson was already aware of me. I'd already done a few things, you know, so I was already acting. Mm-hmm. But then Ozzie needed another little boy to kind of go to the malt shop with. And so I just kind of slid right into that slot as the kid next door that would hang out with Ozzie and wound up doing 16 episodes. It was just natural and fun, and the people, luckily, that I worked with were very good people. The Nelsons were the sweetest, most, you know, kind people that you would ever want to work with or for. And Ozzie, you know, took me under his wing, and, you know, I became like his little buddy. You know, I'd go every lunchtime. We'd go into his screening room, and we'd have our lunch together and watch the shooting, you know, the scenes that we'd shot the previous day in the dailies, they'd call them. And he'd always have a big chocolate, you know, bowl of chocolate ice cream for both of us there. And, yeah, it was fun. There was no pressure, no stress at all for me. I kind of thought it was just a gas to do what I was doing.
All right. Well, Barry Livingston, it's good to talk to you, but I have the most pressing political, well, not really political, question to ask you. This is the question that is on everyone's mind, I am sure. And I will ask you that question when we come back. You know, it's a radio tease. We are talking to Barry Livingston, remember, from My Three Sons and many, 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 many more TV shows and lots of movies as well. All right. So here is, are you ready for the dramatic question, Barry?
Well, it's political, huh? Okay, let's see how this goes.
Sort of.
Lay it on me.
Okay.
Okay.
Bubba or Uncle Charlie? William Frawley or William Demarest? Who do you choose as your favorite? Remember now, this is live radio, no pressure.
Right. Well, you know, I was afraid you were going to go, who do you prefer, Trump or Biden?
No, I don't care about any of that. This is what I care about.
I know. I hear you. I hear you. You know, even though I worked a lot more with William Demarest, who played Uncle Charlie, I probably had more fun with William Frawley, who played Bub. Bub was a famous drinker, and he. But you know, it also he was a guy who's just his whole manner with kids was a lot less grumpy. I believe Uncle Charlie, William Demarest, was a reformed drinker, so I think he was always on edge a little bit. Bill Frawley was just always laughing, always joking, sort of knew how to talk to kids. And,
now, Bill Frawley, of course, was Fred Mertz. We mentioned Lucy earlier. Well, here's the guy who played Fred Mertz, and there are stories that I've read, and only you can confirm these, that you guys would go out to lunch, you guys meaning much of the cast, and he'd enjoy himself with liquid enjoyment? At lunch. And it was your job to somehow get him back. So there's a little kid that would somehow be responsible for bringing Frawley back on time, because otherwise he wouldn't go back on time.
No, and if an adult showed up from the production company and said, you know, hey, you know, you're late, you know, he would explode. And so nobody wanted to be on the receiving end of Bill's wrath. So he knew, you know, the production manager said to us, look, you got to, you know, time is money. You know, when Bill comes home, comes back to the set 20 minutes late, half an hour, that throws everything, you know, into chaos. So can you guys help us out? He's talking to Stan, my brother Stan, who's Chip and I, and we are, you know, we'd be sitting with Bill. And so, yeah, you know, we kind of knew the game. And, you know, right as everyone else at the table was already leaving, Bill was sitting there and he'd have cantaloupe with a big scoop of ice cream, half a cantaloupe with a chunk of vanilla ice cream in the middle and a Cutty Sark, probably a double. And, you know, and so we would be there kind of ribbing. We're going, hey, Uncle Bill, oh, well, hey, it's time to go. We got to go back to, oh, I'm not done with my drink, you know. No, look at the clock. We got to go. We got, oh, no, all right, you know. No, let me just, oh, down go the hatch goes the drink. And he would, you know, we'd drag him back to the set probably a few minutes late, but at least we got him there. He was a character, man. He was just a total character. And they put it, you know, nobody would get away with that kind of stuff today. Nobody, you know, because they all knew he'd come back and he'd be pretty feeling, you know, he was a pro. He would do something, get his lines down. He'd be fun. But, you know, you could smell alcohol in his breath or whatever. And, it was, everyone loved him. So they put up with a lot of stuff nobody else would get away with.
So when you audition, you mentioned, you know, you still go for auditions. And you're, as I said, and you said, I mean, you're in movies and TV shows all the time. Do people ask you about, well, the kind of stories that I'm talking about? Because you're in a unique position here. You're not an old guy, but you are able to remember the old guys because you were so young.
Yeah, I know. It's an unusual place to be, and I do relish it now, this role of elder statesman, because, you know, I feel good about where I'm at in my career. I'm still active. I'm still somewhat in demand. I'm doing some good work, I think. But, yes, I do know a lot of way, way, way back, you know, some of the characters and into the old studios and everything about the old studios, and people always have a lot of questions about, you know, I mean, we shot on the same sound stage as where they shot Citizen Kane.
Wow.
You know, our dressing rooms were, you know, it was Desi Lou and we were shooting it, but it was the old RKO studio.
Right.
And our dressing rooms were in the same property department that they kept the miniatures from King Kong, the New York skyline, the Empire State Building, the Chrysler Building. So, you know, all these crazy things that, you know, that I have recollections of. People are like, oh, my God, you know how much, you know, if I had the Empire State Building today, I could probably sell it on eBay for about $5 million, you know, if it was the original one that King Kong climbed in the movie. So, and a lot of the characters, Paul Newman, you know, having worked with Paul Newman and Jackie Gleason and Jerry Lewis, and everyone wants to know what that was all about, and Debbie Reynolds.
All right, stop. You know, I want to know. So stop. So what was working with Paul Newman and Jackie Gleason, Debbie Reynolds, and there was one other, I think Jerry Lewis, you said? What was that
Jerry
all about?
Jerry Lewis, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, how much time do you got? You know, they're all different.
Paul Newman, that was the very first
job I ever had. It was a movie called Rally Around the Flag Boys with Joanne Woodward, and Paul Newman were the stars. And this was probably 1958. The story there, and I'll try and make it brief, was my eyes, while we were I was playing his son, and Stan was also in it. And we were both playing their kids. But the gag was I was supposed to watch TV, and he's the dad, and he comes home, and he says hi to us, and we just ignore him. Anyway, I was supposed to watch the TV, and as we were shooting in my eyes to the director, it looked like I wasn't paying attention. Looked like I was not looking at the TV, and we did it over and over and over. And Newman and the director, guy named, talking about an old timer, Leo McCarey, who directed Duck Soup. That's how far back he goes.
Marx Brothers.
He was
right.
A very, very renowned director, but a hothead. And he was really kind of laying into me, like I'm not, you know, come on, kid, come on, you know, get this right cut. You're not doing it, you know. Newman finally said, whoa, you know, he kind of intervened, said, you know, look, you got the establishing shot. You see them from the TV. You see me walk in the door. Let's just do a close up. Kid's probably tired, whatever. And he literally got in one of those old big TV boxes because there really was no TV you could see. But he got in it with a puppet and said, you know, I'll get his attention, you know, just get the shot. And he did that. My eyes still kept crossing, as it turned out. I was developing an astigmatism. I wasn't wearing glasses at that time. They took me straight to a hospital thinking maybe I was having a seizure or something. I don't know, you know. But anyway, I came back in a day or two, and they said, no, Barry's got to have glasses now. And I literally got fired from my very first job because they said, well, you know, we hired him. We only shot him one or two scenes. We didn't really want, you know, this kid, Paul Newman's son, you know, wearing glasses. And they already had a Mo Howard haircut and some buck teeth that are kind of, you know, like a chipmunk. So I got fired from that. But Newman was sweet as could be, you know, came in, said goodbye. Don't worry, kid. You know, you got a future. And so that was my great experience with Paul Newman.
Did you ever see him? Did you ever see Newman later at an awards event or something where you reminded him of that story?
I did. I was at a racetrack one time. Oh. And Riverside 500, and he was in, you know, I had access to some special area up in the press box or something. And I went up to him, and I, you know, he had already had done, you know, 40 and other movies since then. And this is probably 25 years later. And I introduced myself, and he kind of nodded and went, yeah, you know, hey, good to see you. Yeah, well, I got to go, you know. So not a real Yeah, it was a Paul Newman in a crowd going, gosh, I can't spend too much time with this guy. I don't know who he is, really. But, you know, no offense taken.
Oh, yeah, Jackie Gleason?
Yeah, the other guys.
Yeah.
Huh?
Gleason?
Gleason, a drunk, you know, some crash his golf cart because after lunch, you know, drank too much, crashed into the back of a van or something like that. Jerry Lewis, manic. I think I did a film called The Errand Boy that has, you know, I guess some people consider it one of his funnier routines, his bits. I was one of the little kids that makes him he's working at the studio candy shop, you know, and it would make him go up and down a ladder to bring down jelly beans. And I was one of the kids. And you know, it's a funny little scene. It's a gag that goes on forever. You know, it has nothing to do with the plot other than it was a funny gag. And it just, and it worked. So, but he was all over the place. Just running all over the place. That's my memory of him as a kid, much more hyper than I was. And he actually ran in front of the camera as it was moving, and it knocked him down. I remember that very vividly. So, you know, he was just hyper. you know, and you could see that in his work. I think years later, people said he really liked, you know, was a big fan of amphetamines. So maybe he had too much coffee that morning and a couple little white pills. But he, anyway, he great guys.
So I'll end it where we began. What is the secret to you surviving all this time? Is it not getting into drugs and alcohol? Or maybe you didn't. I don't know about it.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not gonna whitewash my past. I grew up in the 70s. You know, I came of age in the 70s, and it was a party scene in Hollywood and elsewhere. I dabbled. That's what it is. I'm not gonna lie about it. I never got caught in it to the point that it brought me to some depths that I, you know, said this is a bummer and to lose my house and lose everything. But you know, that's just what it was. It was, you know, it's silly to kind of forget the past because you'll be doomed to repeat it, as they say. So I didn't linger in that phase very long. I was still working quite a bit, but then I met my wife in 1980, and I was already out of that phase. You know, I was in, that's enough of that. It's not getting me anywhere. That was the thing. And I guess, I don't know, maybe I had something to prove to people in my mind. You know, there's that stigma of you're a child actor, you're branded, you know, you've got a big C on your forehead for child, you know, and even though you're an adult. So I probably had a little chip on my shoulder that I went, no, I got something to prove here. I did the right things, and I went, said, I'm going to learn my craft. You know, I can't rely on just being a cute kid anymore, because it certainly wasn't, you know, as an adult. And you can get a lot of mileage out of just being the cute kid. So you got to know your stuff.
So it's interesting you said a chip on my shoulder, because Chip Douglas was...
Brother.
Uh-huh. The name of the book is...
But a lot of my peers did not... I don't know if they tried as hard.
Yep.
They weren't as talented, frankly. I don't know. You know, it's such a crapshoot. This town is, you know, I mean, what is it? Opportunity, you know, luck is opportunity meets preparation.
Well, okay, and it worked for you. The Importance of Being Ernie is the name of the book. Barry Livingston, what a pleasure to talk to you. What an honor to meet you.